Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. La prochaine conversation est l'interview d'un Américain venant de la Floride, c'est-à-dire l'État de Floride, en anglais Florida. Kathy va demander à Robert Harris, « Where are you from? D'où venez-vous? » Il va répondre avec la contraction, « I'm from Florida. » « I am from Florida. » « I'm », c'est la contraction. « Je viens de la Floride. » « I'm from Florida. » Kathy dit à son invité, « Good morning, Mr. Harris. » Par politesse, elle choisit de l'appeler par son nom de famille, « Last name. » L'invité, Robert Harris, va dire en se présentant, « Please call me Bob. » Il préfère être moins formel. Une autre façon de demander d'où vient quelqu'un, « Are you from ?» Êtes-vous de « Are you from ?» « Are you from Orlando ?» Elle lui demande « Are you from Orlando ?» Écoutez, listen.
Now it's time for our interview. Our guest today is Robert Harris. Good morning, Mr. Harris.
Good morning, Kathy. Please call me Bob.
Okay, Bob. I have a question for you.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
Are you from Orlando?
No, I'm not. I'm not from Orlando. I'm from Miami.
That's very interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our guest is Bob Harris. He's from Miami, Florida.
Comme vous l'avez entendu, il y a plusieurs façons de demander d'où vient une personne. Vous avez entendu « Where are you from ?» Et maintenant, vous venez d'entendre « Are you from Orlando ?» Et moi, je vous demande « Are you from Congo ?»« Are you from Rwanda ?»« Are you from Sénégal ?»« Are you from Niger ?»« Are you from Burundi ?» Et vous allez répondre avec la contraction de « I am » en répétant après moi « I'm from Congo. » Répétez. I'm from Congo. I'm from Rwanda. I'm from Sénégal. Écoutez et répétez. Listen and repeat.
Where are you from?
D'où venez-vous?
I'm from the United States. Where are you from? I'm from Florida. Where are you from? I'm from Miami. Where are you from, Max?
I'm from San Francisco.
Where are you from, Kathy?
I'm from New York.
Une question pour vous. À vous de répondre.
A question for you.
Une question pour vous.
Now, here's a question for you. Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
Donnez votre réponse.
What's your name?
Comment vous appelez?
Nice to meet you.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Étudiante américaine dans un programme d'échange culturel, Maya aime bien sa famille d'accueil. Seulement, le sens de l'hospitalité étouffe Maya. Ils en font trop. Toute la famille l'énerve, sauf Badou, le fils aîné, si différent des autres. Écoutons Maya se plaindre auprès du directeur de son programme d'échange. Vous répondrez par vrai ou faux, true or false, à ces énoncés. 1. Le directeur du programme trouve que la famille d'accueil est gentille avec Maya. 2. Pour Maya, on boit trop de thé et de café tout bas dans cette famille. Vous allez maintenant répondre à ces trois questions. 1. Pourquoi Maya dit-elle qu'elle ne respire pas? 2. Pour le directeur du programme, comment Maya devrait-elle se sentir? 3. Qu'est-ce qui va lui manquer quand elle rentrera aux États-Unis? Vous allez apprendre à utiliser des expressions pour exprimer des sentiments d'agacement, de nervosité, en utilisant « can't ». Nous allons écouter Maya se plaindre auprès du directeur de son programme d'échange.
I can't understand the behavior of my host family.
Maya, you've only been there for 3 weeks. They're nice people. We've been sending many students to this family.
I can't stand it. They don't let me breathe. They escort me everywhere all the time.
Come on, Maya. You should feel happy. You're just homesick. You miss your parents, don't you?
That's not it. The TV is always on, but they don't even watch it. People are always talking and laughing, so they can't be listening to it.
Oh, you shouldn't worry about the TV. That's normal. In this country, it's not polite to switch off the TV when you have guests.
Everybody wants to style my hair. Take me to the tailor, cook for me. It's too much. I'm a grown woman.
Maya, this is called teranga, the Senegalese sense of hospitality.
3 cups of ataya 10 times a day? Cafe tuba all day long?
Don't worry, you should just take 1 cup of ataya 5 times a day and cafe tuba only in the morning. Or just say thank you and don't drink it.
That's going to be hard now. I'm getting used to all the caffeine.
See? I'm sure you'll miss this Senegalese teranga when you go back home. Who will make ataya for you back in America?
Me. I can't even get the phone right now. I know. I shouldn't complain. I'll miss the sun, the beach, Mbala music, the karapis, and of course, Badu.
Your host father's eldest son?
Yes. He's so nice, so handsome, and so caring.
There's something in the air. A love story.
Oh, no. We're just friends.
Of course. Did I say you were not just friends? I'm sure all of your other friends are also so nice, so handsome, and so caring.
Vous avez entendu dans ce dialogue, Maya est le directeur du programme d'échange. L'énoncé 1 est vrai. Le directeur du programme trouve que la famille d'accueil est gentille avec Maya. L'énoncé 2 est vrai. Pour Maya, on boit trop de thé et de café tout bas dans cette famille. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Pourquoi Maya dit-elle qu'elle ne respire pas? Parce qu'on l'escorte toujours, partout. 2. Pour le directeur du programme, comment Maya devrait-elle se sentir? Heureuse. 3. Qu'est-ce qui va lui manquer quand elle rentrera aux États-Unis? Cette teranga sénégalaise. Répétez maintenant ces expressions utilisées par Maya.
I can't understand. I can't stand it.
Ces expressions expriment des sentiments d'agacement, d'énervement. On pourrait les traduire par « je ne peux pas comprendre » et « je ne le supporte pas ». Dans ces expressions, Maya a donc utilisé « can't » pour exprimer l'incapacité à faire quelque chose. Il est suivi d'un complément. Répétez ces autres exemples.
« I can't understand why these people are laughing at me. »« I can't stand people who are always late. »« We can't hire lazy people. »
Répétez aussi ces deux phrases que vous avez entendues.
You should feel happy. You shouldn't worry about the TV. Dans ces phrases, should et shouldn't expriment le devoir moral, ce qu'on devrait faire ou ne devrait pas faire. Ces phrases peuvent aussi être utilisées pour donner une opinion. Écoutez ces autres exemples.
You should just take one cup of ataya. I shouldn't complain.
Vous avez entendu Maya se plaindre auprès de son directeur de programme de l'hospitalité de sa famille d'accueil, étouffante pour elle. Vous savez utiliser des expressions qui expriment le devoir moral avec should et shouldn't. Vous savez enfin exprimer votre agacement ou votre énervement en utilisant can't. Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com.
Hello, hello, I'm your English host. Je suis votre présentatrice pour l'anglais, Michelle Joseph, ici au micro. Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais? C'est fait. Retrouvez-moi tous les soirs à partir de 21h, temps universel, sur VOA Afrique et sur notre site internet à www.voaafrique.com. Cliquez sur Apprenez l'anglais pour retrouver les leçons de tous les jours. Et les week-ends sur Ondes Courtes, le samedi et le dimanche à 20h30. Pour mieux parler l'anglais, to speak better English, ne ratez pas English USA sur VOA Afrique.
Dans cette nouvelle leçon d'anglais, Martin Lerner visite une usine de robots, a robot factory, et il parle avec quelques-uns des employés. Vous apprendrez à décrire l'aspect et la fonction d'objets différents, ici des robots, robots. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington, au micro Michelle Joseph. Le vocabulaire factory, usine, robot factory, usine de robots, welder, c'est un soudeur, c'est une usine où tous les travailleurs sont des robots. Écoutez le dialogue qui suit.
Good morning, I'm Martin Lerner, I'm the Voice of America reporter.
Good morning. I'm Bernice Little.
May I ask some questions?
Of course.
What do you do, Bernice?
I'm a supervisor. I supervise the shipping.
What does that mean?
We ship robots all over the world. I supervise the people here. We put the robots in wooden boxes. We put addresses on the boxes.
Tell me about the robots. What do they do?
We make many robots. Let's look at these. These robots are for factories. They do the work in factories. These robots are welders.
People are welders, too.
Of course. Robots are better than people.
Better than people?
They're better workers. They don't need food. They don't need rest. They don't get sick.
I see. But I don't like the idea.
People are better for some things. Robots are better workers.
They look like people. Tell me about this one. What does it do?
It welds cars. It has long arms.
It doesn't have any fingers.
No, but it has small hands. See this?
I see some tiny holes in the hands.
That's right. The little holes are for the gas. The gas is for welding. It burns. It's very hot.
How does it work?
The car moves slowly. The robot touches the car with its hands. It welds pieces together. The car moves to the next robot. It welds other pieces together.
That's very interesting. Tell what the robot looks like.
It's not tall. It's about 5 feet tall. It has no feet. It's square. It's also very heavy. It has long arms and small hands. It has no head. Its color is silver and black. Stand beside it.
Okay. Why?
It looks like you. You're taller. Look at its arms. They are long, like your arms.
Is it intelligent?
It's intelligent, but it knows only one job. It can only weld. It can't do other work.
What makes it intelligent?
It's really a computer and a machine. The computer is intelligent. It tells the machine its work. The computer tells the machine to weld only those two places. See? One arm welds above, and one arm welds below.
Martin Ebenis parle du robot soudeur, the welding robot, dans cette usine. Ils sont en train de le décrire, son apparence et comment il fonctionne. Écoutez les phrases suivantes et remarquez comment elles décrivent le robot.
It's not tall. It's about 5 feet tall. It has no feet. It's square. It's also very heavy. It has long arms and small hands. It has no head. Its color is silver and black.
Essayez à votre tour de décrire le robot. Parlez-nous de sa taille, its height. Is it tall? Is it small? Is it short? A-t-il une tête? Does it have a head? La forme de son corps? Is it large? Is it slender? Is it long? Sa couleur? Its color? Pensez-y. Think about it. Describe the robot. It's your turn. C'est votre tour. Martin vous rappellera sa description. Écoutez la liste d'adjectifs et de noms descriptifs à propos du robot.
Square. Heavy. Intelligent. Silver and black. Long arms. Small hands. Not tall. No feet. No head.
Écoutez maintenant les phrases suivantes qui décrivent les fonctions du robot. Rappelez-vous, le robot est intelligent, un ordinateur, a computer, donc c'est une machine, it's a machine. Écoutez Bernice décrire le robot.
It's really a computer and a machine. The computer tells the machine its work. The computer tells the machine to weld only those two places. One arm welds above and one arm welds below.
These robots work on cars. Do robots do other work?
Yes, we make 6 robots. They are similar. I like this one.
Why?
It cleans. It cleans this factory. It moves across the floor and cleans the floor. Its arms clean the tables. We sell these robots all over the world.
Do you have one at home?
No, but I want one.
Voyons le vocabulaire. A robot, un robot. Aux États-Unis, dans les grandes usines, the factories, on utilise des robots. Beaucoup de robots. Qu'est-ce que sont les robots? En fait, les robots, ce sont des ordinateurs. Computer. A computer, un ordinateur. A robot, un robot. Un robot, un ordinateur, en fait, ce sont des machines. Une machine. A machine. A robot is a computer and a machine. Dans ce cas-là, le robot travaille dans une usine. The robot works in a factory. It works as a welder. Il travaille en tant que soudeur. It works as a painter. Il travaille comme peintre. It works as a cleaner. Il travaille comme nettoyeur. Conséquence, hence. C'est-à-dire par conséquence, hence. Hence, the robot is a welder. The robot is a painter. And the robot is a cleaner. In this factory. Dans cette usine. Puisque le robot est un objet, une machine, it's a machine, c'est neutre. Pour parler du robot, on va utiliser it. Donc, on conjugue le verbe to weld. The robot welds cars. It welds. The robot paints cars. It paints. The robot cleans cars. It cleans. That's it for lesson number 45 of English USA. Vous avez appris à décrire des objets, en l'occurrence des robots, robots, qui en fait ne sont pas très différents de nous, êtres humains. C'était juste un exercice en description, an exercise in description. Continuez de vous exercer à décrire les gens et les objets familiers. Practice hard. Until next time, goodbye. Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais?
C'est
avec Anglais Télé, notre programme interactif télé multimédia.
C'est à votre tour de parler.
It's your turn to talk.
No, it's my turn to talk.
No, it's their turn to talk.
Vous aurez l'occasion d'intervenir en direct
et de pratiquer l'anglais avec
Michel
et Roger.
Nous répondrons à vos questions.
Nous vous aiderons à formuler vos phrases. Participez à Anglais Télé.
Retrouvez-nous aussi sur notre groupe Facebook Anglais Télé.
My name is Michelle Joseph, and I have two wonderful guests with me today. On my left...
Hi, my name is Madina.
And on my right...
Hi, my name is Eva.
And together, we are going to chit-chat, which means a small talk, pleasant conversation, not too serious, a little blah-blah, just to find out a few little things about people and friends, and this is not serious conversation. And some typical subjects here in the States, you can say, hi, how are you? Well, why don't we start, Eva? Hi, what's up?
I'm fine, and you?
Fine. How was your commute this morning, coming to work?
Oh, good. With the sun, for a funny day.
Great. How about you, Dima?
My commute was good. I was walking, it was sunny, people were happy and smiling.
That's
how about you? How was your commute?
Oh, it was crowded. It was crowded, and sometimes when it's crowded, people are rude. They push, you know, everyone wants to get there at the same time. So there we go. We've warmed up a little. This was chit-chat, but I forgot to ask you, where are you from?
I am from Mali.
And how about you, Eva? Where are you from?
I come from France, from Paris.
Okay, and I live in the suburbs of Washington, so I have to come from Silver Spring every day.
How long does it take you?
It takes about 30 minutes, and sometimes longer if the train is slow. Or if we have a technical problem,
which there always is a technical problem.
Hello, and welcome to Anglais Télé. And I have with me our guest...
Dan Crafton. Bienvenue, Michelle.
Dan Crafton. Bienvenue, Dan.
Yes.
Thanks for coming here and being with us again.
Thanks for inviting me.
And as always, I choose to have Dan with me to explain different parts of American culture in the way an American can. And so, right?
Yeah.
And so today, we're going to talk about human emotions. And Dan and I have shared earlier that animals also have emotions, or
they have every emotion that we have.
Exactly. They express these same emotions, but we're going to stick to human beings for now.
Yeah. I think maybe animals do it in a different way.
Right. But we are all complicated species, and the human species has a range of emotions, right?
Right.
And all of us recognize these emotions. So we're going to look at them closely in English for you, and we're going to have fun with that.
Right.
Okay.
And you can start, Michelle.
I'm going to start. Thank you, Dan. And, well, we're going to start with something really positive that all of us can relate to, of course. And that is joy. La joie in French. And
la joie de vivre.
La joie de vivre. That sums right? it up. And I think right. actually in English, Americans use that expression.
They do.
Because it's just so authentic and it just grabs that meaning very well. So the joy of living, la joie de vivre.
When they go to the Mardi Gras, they all have that.
Mardi Gras.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
Well, so joy, I think everyone can relate to. It's happiness. It's uplifting.
Right.
Anything else about that emotion?
Oh, it makes you feel great about living.
Yes, and as though we are walking on clouds.
Right.
And what I like about joy, it's contagious.
Oh, yes.
I'm joyful, you're going to feel joyful.
If you're in a crowd of depressed people and you're joyful, they're usually going to be joyful.
Exactly, because it's very difficult to stop this exuberance and this feeling.
It's almost like a disease.
Ooh.
It's contagious.
All right, so that's...
If the person is positive enough.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So joy is contagious. It spreads. Actually, we can use the same terms as a... It spreads.
Like a disease, right?
It has a reach. It
right.
has a wide reach.
Right.
A wonderful human emotion. I would like to follow joy with love. Let's stick to the positive ones right now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, love, I think everyone understands. L'amour, le grand amour, which is an emotion similar to joy in that it's also contagious. It's very powerful.
Meilleur et meilleur.
Meilleur et meilleur, yes. Better and better and better.
Yep.
And love, of course, is just an immense category.
And when you're in love... Nothing is wrong.
Okay, being in love is être amoureux, which is a bit different from that big love. It's
a
part of that big love.
Yeah, I mean, that can encompass love of family, friends, wives, girlfriends.
Love of life.
Right, love of life.
Someone who's full of love.
Your love of being alive.
Yes.
You know.
And caring for your fellow human beings and
good friends.
Right. So that's a wonderful
emotion.
And I'm going to top that off with trust.
Oh, yeah, because without trust, there is no love.
La confiance.
Right.
Sans confiance, il n'y a pas d'amour. Without love, no trust. That's a wonderful way of putting that.
I just made that up.
Well, it fits. It fits.
Yeah.
Without trust, there is no love.
Or love is hard.
Yes, because trusting, actually it relates to the heart as well. To entrust someone with, you know, with your heart or with everything.
With your feelings.
With your directions.
With your life. And if you lose trust, it's very hard to maintain love.
Absolutely. So trust and love go together. So we looked at joy, love, and trust. All of them kind of work together
right.
as a very positive, beautiful human emotion.